السلام عليكم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. الحمد لله رب العالمين. نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه. ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. نشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له. واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. اما بعد. Brothers and sisters, I'm very humbled by the invitation extended me to come tonight in this city to try to do something for Allah, and at the same time try to do something for ourselves. I want to put the Muslim Ummah in crisis to discuss with you tonight some issues why we have a Chechnya and a Palestine and Kosovo, and why there will be more. It doesn't end here. Chechnya is just a symptom of a much larger problem. It's a Muslim Ummah crisis. And I want you tonight to uncover with me why the crisis and what we can do about it. I'm going to invite you to a trip that I took years ago to the dentist's office. And this trip in the dentist's office gave me a good perspective of the condition of the Muslim Ummah. I remember my tooth was aching, and the dentist decided to take the tooth out. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't care what you say, this dentist had a pair of pliers. And he put those pliers in my mouth. And I'll never forget that he anchored his foot, braced it against the desk, and he started yanking, trying to pull the tooth out. And as he was pulling, my head, I was jerking from the motion, and you could see the blood squirting out as the dentist tried to pull the tooth out. And eventually, with a big yank, he was able to take the tooth out. And the remarkable thing about it is that although there was blood and although there was a lot of pressure and force, when he took the tooth out, I felt no pain. And the reason that I felt no pain is because he had given me a local anesthetic that put my body in what is called anesthesia. And anesthesia is a condition where the body feels no pain, it feels no senses. It can't feel. And so even though there was pain, even though there appeared to be pain, there was no pain because what he gave me, this anesthetic, made my mouth numb. The condition of the Muslim Ummah is that all of these crises around the world, you would think that if this Ummah is one body, then you would think then if a Muslim is hurting in Chechnya, then a Muslim in Boston would also feel the same pain. You would think that if there's a Muslim in Palestine and they were hurting, then you would think that a Muslim in New York City would feel the same pain, but there's no pain so much because of this anesthesia. And I would like tonight to analyze this Muslim ummah in crisis and then suggest what I think we could do to bring it about. I want to first thank Allah for giving us the crisis. Yes. When I was a student, I never liked to take tests. I was afraid of tests, like many students. But when I became a teacher, I loved to give tests because the test is a gauge for me to know the level of the students. And also, if right understood, it's good for the students to allow them to know where they are. Allah is a constant giver of tests. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا هو العزيز الغفور. Glory be to him, Allah, in whose hand is the dominion of the heavens and the earth. He created night and day to test us to see who's best in conduct. So Allah tests us. And every test that Allah gives us is for us to see where we are so that we may do something based on our condition. I'm not ashamed to tell you that right now in New York City, my car is having a very difficult problem. I have a transmission problem. And when I'm riding on the road, the fastest that my car will go is like 15 miles per hour. And I'm driving, and because I'm going so slow, I have to put the blinkers on. And you know how people are when you're driving slow and people, you know, they look at you? And this is the way my car is now. And the reason that I know the speed of my car is because in the car, there is an instrument called speedometer. And the speedometer measures the speed of the car so you know how fast you're going or how slow you're going. And every car should have a speedometer because the speedometer helps you to measure, helps you to gauge. And if you're going too slow, you know you have to put on the gas. And if you're going too fast, you have to slow down. The speedometer helps you to measure how fast or how slow you're going. So when we look at the condition of the Muslims in Chechnya, what is happening in Chechnya represents for us a gauge to measure how fast or how slow we're moving. Palestine was a gauge. Kosovo was a gauge. Everywhere there's a crisis in the Muslim Ummah, it is a sign for us to study, to learn, to see what we're going to do, to know the condition of the Ummah, and then the question is, what will we do about it? What is the gauge? Alhamdulillah, a gauge is a standard of measurement. It's a yardstick. And thanks be to Allah, Allah has given us a yardstick as the words of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, when he said, the best of my ummah is my generation, and then the generation that follows it, and then the generation that follows it. Why is that significant? It's significant because we will never supersede that ummah. That is the best example as an ummah of what we should be. So therefore, if you want to gauge yourself, if you want to use the yardstick, then you use the yardstick based upon that ummah, since that was the best ummah. And if that ummah is here and we are there, then it means that we have to pick up speed and get next to that ummah. So Allah has given us a forever standard by which to measure, and that is the standard of the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the crisis of the ummah. How did it get like that? And what do we have to do about it? Anesthesia. I don't think that any Muslim would deny the fact that, by and large, the Muslims are under anesthesia. Now, my sisters, I like to read newspapers. I even like to read financial newspapers and the financial section of other newspapers. And every day, in almost every newspaper, you're given the quote of the price of gold. Gold is a great standard of wealth that people use. How much gold does a person have? How much gold reserve does a nation have? And you want to make sure that what you have in your possession is really gold, so there are tests to determine the authenticity of the gold, whether this is in fact gold, because everything that shines is not necessarily gold. They have a thing called fool's gold. It looks like gold, but when you put it to the test, then you find out that it's not really that. You know something, brothers and sisters? Everyone can make a claim that this is gold, this is silver, this is diamond. But every element has its own test. And so the Prophet ﷺ said, وَلَكِنَ الْبَيْنَ عَلَى الْمُدَّعِينَ. And the burden of proof is on the one who makes the accusation. If you say that you're gold, if you say that you are the real thing, then you have to prove that you're the real thing. In order to prove that you're the real thing, then you must go to the test to determine whether in fact you are the real thing or you're just a fake, a phony, a fraud. Question is this ummah a fake, a fraud? We can determine by the test. Today, brothers and sisters, I just want to go over with you three verses of the Quran. And I'll let you make your own decision. Allah reveals in Quran to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, إن هذه أمتكم أمة واحدة وأنا ربكم فاعبدون. This ummah of yours is one ummah, one nation, and I am your Lord. Allah says, so worship me. I would like to pose the question tonight in Boston University. Are we in fact أمة واحدة? Are we one ummah? Not in theory, but in practice. And what is the implications of أمة واحدة? Verse number 2. أَرْ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. You are the best of people evolved for mankind because you enjoy the good, you forbid the evil, and you believe in Allah. Are we the best ummah? Not in theory, but in reality. Verse number 3. فَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَلِكُونَ رَسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. And thus have we made you a just and a balanced nation, that you may be a witness for mankind, and that the messenger may be a witness over you. I'm asking the question tonight. Are we أُمَّةً وَسَطًا خَرُ أُمَّةً? And are we Ummatan Wahida? Are we? Take a look. This is what Allah has given us in the Quran. And then we see. No. If you're going to analyze our condition, you have to be honest. And you have to be truthful. And you have to be just. When I look at our ummah, I see weakness upon weakness upon weakness. If it's true
that we're weak, then what can we do to strengthen us?
I read a very interesting hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam related by At-Tirmidhi. He alayhi salatu wasalam was speaking to a sahaba and he said that إِنَّكُمْ فِي زَمَانٍ مَنْ تَرَقَ مِنْكُمْ أُسْرَ مَا أُمْرَ بِهِ حَلَتَهُ ثُمْ يَأْتِي زَمَانٌ مَنْ عَمْلَ مِنْهُمْ بِأُسْرِ مَا أُمْرَ بِهِ نَجَاهُ. He said in this hadith that you are living in a time that if any one of you leave off just one-tenth of what you have been commanded, you will be destroyed. And then there will come a time for those people, if they do one-tenth of what they have been commanded to do, they will be saved. What does it mean? The hadith implies two things, at least. One of the things that it implies is the standard of these companions was so high. They were such great believers that if they get a 90, they fail. And we are so weak that if we get a 10, we pass. Let's see how valid it is. Have you ever been in a school where the test was so difficult that everybody failed, and the teacher marked the test on what's called a curve? So the highest mark on the test was a 50. So the teacher knew the severe difficulty of the test, so therefore they marked the test on a curve. The highest grade, 50, became 100. Because of the severity of the test. And if you study Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will discover a sunnah. It is right there in the Quran. The crisis of the Muslim Ummah. If I could say it in one word, I would say that we weak. Shaitan reveals to the Muslim Ummah how weak we are. I think it was Brother Yusuf who mentioned maybe the Muslim countries. I don't know whether you, Yusuf, or the other brother mentioned the Muslim countries. Maybe you, my brother. I don't know the name. Muhammad, Sheikh Muhammad. He mentioned the Muslim countries. Weak. The Muslim leaders. Weak. The Muslim followers. Weak.